Got 20 minutes? Then you have time for a Bible study.
If you confess the Lord, call him up. If you confess the Lord,
welcome to another episode of 20-Minute Bible Studies. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Over the next several minutes, you're going to hear an important message directly from God's Word and have your faith and knowledge increased. All you have to do is listen. Now, here are your teachers.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jordan Pine.
And I'm Andy Balog. Let's get right to it, Jordan. A listener named Dean recently wrote us an email asking, would you please share your understanding of election and predestination? Well, Dean, we'd be happy to do that. So this lesson is for you.
Yes, Andy, it's an important topic that we haven't discussed much on the show because it's a pretty intense and controversial study. But I think we can cover the basics in this format. So let's start by seeing what the Word of God has to say about this topic.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And verses 11 through 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1. 3 through 6 and 11 through 12.
Let's begin with the SPACE method. This is our tool for understanding Scripture. SPACE is an acronym. SP stands for speaker, A for audience, C for context, and E for explanation. When trying to interpret Scripture, it's critical to understand who is speaking, who is being addressed, and what was happening at the time. It's also important to understand the theme of the passage and to look at any critical clues from the verses that come before the verses you're studying. So let's use this SPACE method here.
The speaker is the Apostle Paul. That's from Ephesians 1, the first part. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And after his conversion, as we've mentioned before, the Apostle Paul spent 3 years in Arabia directly receiving, quote, a revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul calls my gospel in his letters. So the key point here is that Paul received pure doctrine direct from the source. So we should pay careful attention to what he has to say.
So the audience here is the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 1 says, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. The Ephesians were more spiritually advanced than some other churches, as we know, because many had been Christians for the better part of a decade at least when this was written. Also, the Apostle Paul had personally pastored them for about 3 years. They also had been led and taught by many famous early Christian leaders, including Apollos, Aquila, and Priscilla. So this letter is written to Christians with, of course, advanced knowledge of pure doctrine by the leading Christian scholar of the day, one who was taught by Jesus himself and taught with the authority of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, what we will hear today is deep doctrine for mature believers.
Great point, Andy. As for the context, it's important to remember that the Ephesians were Gentiles. In addition to election predestination, Paul writes about adoption and inheritance, two critical themes for these believers. You know, Israel is, in typology, the adulterous wife of God. That's from Ezekiel 16 and Jeremiah 2. And its people are his biological, if you will, children. You can read that Deuteronomy 14:1, Psalm 82:6. Meanwhile, the Gentiles were the adopted children of God. In a broader sense, you know, all believers, including Jews such as Paul, were adopted as the sons of God, with the possibility of enjoying the rights of the firstborn along with Jesus Christ. So one of the key messages of Ephesians is to remind Gentile believers what came along with their adoption, predominantly the right to the, quote, riches of his glorious inheritance. Very important.
Great, Jordan. So now that we know the speaker, the audience, and context of our scripture reading, we're ready to attempt an explanation. So let's reread and break down today's scripture reading, and I'll pick up in Ephesians 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. So, a couple key points. Predestination goes back a long way before the foundation of the world, according to Scripture. And when we compare Matthew 25, 31 to 33, we read, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'"
Yeah, so when you run down this phrase, foundation of the world, you find it in places like Matthew, and that's Jesus speaking. You also find it in prophecy. Of course, Jesus is giving a prophecy, but in prophecy itself, the book of Revelation, for example, chapter 13, verses 7 to 9 say, "It was also given to him," and the him is the beast here, "to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear." So the main point is that this phrase, foundation of the world, it occurs frequently, and it's a key doctrinal phrase, speaking of this doctrine of predestination and election. And then returning to Ephesians 1, 3 to 4, it's just also worth mentioning that what he chose us for from the foundation of the world, for including ourselves in that group, is to be holy and blameless before him, Jesus Christ.
Great points, Jordan. So moving on to verses 5 through 6, it reads, "In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved." So we add detail here. We are predestined to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. And also, we see Paul is setting up something special. Adoption was the first step toward the full rights of being a son.
Okay, so continuing verses 7 to 10, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth." So a couple things to pull out here, Andy. One of them is this phrase, the mystery of his will. What is that a reference to?
Well, it's definitely a reference to the kingdom truths. This is what our ministry is about. It's something beyond just initial salvation. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, it says that Jesus is telling his disciples, "To you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Again, the key point there is he's saying this to his disciples, those who went beyond the norm of just following Jesus. They actually wanted to study and learn more about what Jesus was trying to teach. And also, the fullness of the times is a reference to prophecy. We see in Galatians chapter 4 that Paul writes, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we're children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time," there's that phrase, "came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And again, that's Galatians 4, 1 through 7.
Yeah, so we're seeing those key phrases again, adoption, and then this concept of heirship, which is going to be very important to the theme of predestination. Moving on to verse 11 to 12, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, there's that word again, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. So we see that inheritance follows adoption, and it speaks of receiving a portion of Christ's inheritance. You know, that's even clearer. You read Galatians, Andy. It's even clearer in Paul's letter to the Roman church. He echoes and expands on what he wrote in Galatians. For example, Romans 8, 16 to 17 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. There's that key phrase. If, and it's conditional, indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him.
Amen.
So the question arises, Andy, heirs of what? What does co-heirship actually mean?
Well, in a nutshell, Jordan, now that we know that we are saved because of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, he put away sin forever, the curse of sin, which condemns everyone from ever going to heaven. Now that he fulfilled that for us, and by his grace, he chose us even to believe in his finished work. Now, just like you said, and you repeated in Romans 8, 16 to 17, now we must suffer with him. Now that we are Christians, in other words, we have a task to do as right. Christians, right? We cannot conform to this world. We must stay the path, adhere to the word of God, fulfill his calling for us. And everyone has a calling, whether it's ministering to our loved ones or people around us or total strangers, whatever it might be, it's not going to be easy. The enemy is going to be constantly trying to deter what God has planned for us. So there is suffering involved. And that's kind of what God had planned for Christians. He wants us to know kind of what Jesus went through in order for us to coincide with that spirit, that loving spirit, that sacrificial spirit. So in order to attain to that higher level of being an heir with Christ, we must suffer with him. And basically what that means is that after the rapture, or if we leave this earth before the rapture through death, one day all Christians are going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. During that time, everyone is going to be judged based on our works. We know this. A lot of our listeners have heard this before. And you could study this in a little more detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. It's the Bema Seat. If we pass the test, if the spiritual works that we did were enough, then God will grant us to come back to rule and reign with Christ on the earth for 1,000 years in some shape or form. What that might be depends on, you know, how high of a level we went to based on the works that we performed.
Right. We see that in Revelation when it's speaking of the tribulation saints. It says, Revelation 24, then I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So that's what heirship means. It means reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And as you alluded to, and we've studied in the parables and stuff like that, there's different levels of that. But it's really an inheritance of ruling and reigning with Christ. Christ meaning king.
Yeah, so there's a question, right, that I think a lot of Christians who are just learning this doctrine, you know, this message of the kingdom, is what about free will? Where does free will fit in all this, right? So we all agree 100% according to scripture that God is sovereign.
Right.
God is omniscient. There's nothing God does not know. He never made a mistake. Anything that ever happened or ever will happen was already pre-planned by God, okay? And we know that God is a good God. So in the end, it's always for a perfect purpose. So the question might be, you know, what about verses in the Bible that speak of free will?
Yeah, let me challenge you with a few of those because, you know, we've just seen the word predestination several times in the Bible, in the writing of Paul. But it's one of those things, again, where people pull out other verses, and then they create this kind of Bible contradiction, or they have their verse to support their view. You know, this free will versus predestination controversy is not going to be easily resolved in a 20-minute Bible study. But well, I do want to challenge you with a few free will verses, and then you can kind of comment on them, and then we'll also come in with some other verses that support the doctrine of predestination. So some of the most common ones are people will say, well, you know, John the Baptist and Jesus preached repent. And repent is an act of will. You can choose to repent or not repent. And obviously they had to repent and be baptized in order to achieve, you know, salvation. And Peter also preached at Pentecost, for example, Acts 3:19, speaking to the Jewish leaders. Repent and return, an act of will, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And Jesus said to the Jewish leaders, you know, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. That's John 5:39 through 40. So aren't those verses talking about free will when it comes to salvation?
Well, they absolutely are when you're looking at the perspective of a human. We are within the present, and we know now, thank God, because of, you know, this ministry and other people before us that are teaching us that there's more than just salvation, right? There's something that we need to attain to. So with that goal in mind, we have a hope, and our hope is what's keeping us refined and walking that straight and narrow path that we always talk about. So according to our mindset, we do have a choice. Our choice is let's live righteously, let's live holy, let's stay in the Word of God, let's constantly repent and get better. But at the end of the day, God, who knows all things, knows what our choices will be. But we're not to be concerned about what the end result is. We're supposed to live in the now and do the best we can for the day. So yeah, today might be a great day. Tomorrow, something might, you know, come across our lives that's really difficult to deal with. But what we always need to keep in mind is that God is, according to our standard, is giving us the choice. Do we go to God? Do we trust in God? Do we have faith in Him? Do we lean on His word and know that He's going to pull us through whatever the situation is? Or are we going to sit back and say, yeah, whatever happens, happens. God already knows. The key point is that we don't know. So we're going to always do the best we can, hoping that when the time comes, we will receive the inheritance. In the meantime, if we were to say that God doesn't know, now we're taking deity away from God. Right. We're actually diminishing God's power, His omniscience, His love. So for the listener, for you and I, we are to live every day knowing that we have a choice to make. And the choice will always be, we need to choose God. We need to choose the righteous way. But at the end of the day, God already knows in heaven who is going to be part of His inheritance and who isn't.
Right. Yeah, it's also important to point out that all those verses I read were to Jewish people. And again, we've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. You know, in terms of salvation, the Jews were already saved nationally. So this is more about a choice of works, doing the right works, repenting, etc.
All those verses
or individual choices. Yeah. Let me give you a couple other verses, Andy, we can talk about that are commonly cited in supporting the doctrine of free will versus predestination. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And I guess that one has the implication of choosing to believe in his name.
Well, I love that verse because it really simplifies how to get saved. I mean, really, look at it for what it says. You believe in his name. You know what he stands for. You know what his purpose was. It was to wipe away sin, the penalty of sin, which was death. So nothing in that verse says anything about, you know, you need to be in church 7 days a week. You need to be baptized. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow, you know, Hebraic law. You need to follow, you know, different doctrines that tell us that we have to, you know, fulfill some kind of standard in order to stay within the church. The key here in that verse is basically just saying, as many as receive him, as many as believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Again, children of God, an adopted child of God. That doesn't mention anything there about receiving an inheritance yet.
Right.
So, you know, to answer your question there, that verse specifically is about initial salvation.
But doesn't receive him imply that you made a choice to do that, to receive him or not? Doesn't that speak against predestination?
According to John later on in the book of John, Jesus actually says, no one seeks after God, not a soul.
Right.
That we did not choose God, but God chose us. You know, I kind of use the analogy of like, you know, I was walking down the road one day And, you know, God took out his spiritual hammer and just clunked me on the head and said, hey, idiot, wake up because I'm here. And by the way, I'm choosing you to be my child.
Well, I think verse 13 also supports that. It says, even to those who believe in his name, but then it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God's will. So it's sort of implying that choice was actually part of God's will, not our will.
100%.
2 Peter 3:9 is another one people often cite. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So doesn't that talk about free will, God's waiting for everyone to come to salvation?
Yeah, I believe that the message that Peter was trying to bring out to the listener, to the reader, to the Christians, even till today, is that God's timing is right on time for each individual Christian. You and I might be at a level right now where, you know, we're advanced. You know, we've spent years now studying the Word of God, and we've been blessed and anointed even to share this message with others. But there's other people in our lives, and this goes for every listener too. They might have family members, friends that are just, you know, not with the game yet. They haven't made that choice. It doesn't mean give up. It doesn't mean, because nobody knows at the end of the day. It could be an atheist, it could be a Buddhist, it could be a Muslim. Nobody knows yet if that person might change. So our job is not to force salvation onto people, but it's to constantly give a steady dose of the gospel, hoping that one day God will open their eyes.
Well, my question though is, when I look at this, I wonder what the word "you" means. Is he talking to about unsaved people here? Even though it sounds like he is, right? Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But first of all, he says "you," and the letter is addressed to the beloved, so it's addressed to believers. It talks about repentance, which we know unsaved person can't repent or turn back because they were never on the right path to begin with.
Good point.
So maybe the perishment is not, you know, perishing in the lake of fire, but it's again, you know, losing the inheritance, losing that kingdom life.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I see your point 100%. And I think that when God is bringing these scriptures out, if it's someone that does not know Jesus and is reading this for the first time, it definitely speaks to them as spiritual salvation. But to someone like you and I, or our listeners who are looking to get closer to God, to get more advanced in the Word of God, this applies to their soul salvation.
Right.
So it encompasses all salvations, if you will. But what's critical to understand here is the subject, that he is not slow about his promise.
Right.
And yes, you could be a person that I'm witnessing to that does not know the name of Jesus yet, or it could be someone who's a Christian who might have apostated, to need to know that God is with him and we need to repent so we could always stay on the right path. And again, the main focus is, now that we are Christians, people need to know about the kingdom. The more people know about the prize, the more opportunity they're going to have and more joy they're going to have in their heart to repent, to walk away from the things of the world and focus on spiritual rewards.
Yeah, so we're almost out of time, Andy. Really quick, I want to give the other side, the other verses that talk about predestination and election. Really quickly, I'll just give a few references. You listening at home could jot them down. One is John 6:44, which Jesus is answering the Jewish leaders, and he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So there we have, again, God's will working through people to draw them to salvation, not them choosing, maybe I'll choose salvation or not. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he be the firstborn among many brethren." And verse 30 also says, "These whom he predestined, he also called." Romans 9:16 says, "So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy." And verse 18, "He has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires."
Yeah, excellent job, Jordan. Those are amazing references. I love those verses with all my heart. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Don't forget to visit our website at 20mbs.org. That's 20mbs, as in minute Bible studies, .org. Our website has a free archive of all lessons, links to our Facebook account and discussion forum, ways to support this ministry, and more.
You can also sign up to receive an email whenever we upload a new Bible study. Our first email will even include a link to a special series titled 10 Mind-Blowing Things You Didn't Know Were in the Bible. This eye-opening set of Bible lessons is our gift to you when you join our community. So be sure to visit us at 20mbs.org.
Thanks for joining us for another 20-minute Bible study. Special thanks to the family of Pastor Gary T. Whipple, to the Abundant Life Worship Center for the music for our show, and to Tom Pine for our scripture reading. I'm Steve Zioli, and until next time, may the Word of Christ dwell in you richly.
All rights reserved. Mysteries of the Kingdom, Incorporated.